ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This is the last of the verses. It's two verses together that are describing Krishna's pastimes. The translation reads, All demonic personalities like Kalamba, Dhenuka, Baka, Keshi, Arishta, Chanura Mushtika, Kuvalyapida Elephant, Kamsa, Yavana, Narakasura, and Pondraka, great marshals like Shalva, Dvidvida Monkey, and Balvala, Dantavakra, the seven bulls, Shambhara, Vidurata, and Rukmi, as also great warriors like Kamboja, Matsyakuru, Srinjaya, Kekaya, would all fight vigorously, either with Lord Hari directly, or with him under his names of Baladev, Arjuna, Bhima, etc. And the demons, thus being killed, would attain either the impersonal Brahmajyoti or his personal abode in the Vaikuntha planets. The impersonal Brahmajyoti is Yasyanti Adarshanam. So the purport reads, All manifestations in both the material and spiritual worlds are demonstrations of the different potencies of Lord Krishna. Personality of Godhead, Baladev, is his immediate personal expansion, and Bhima, Arjuna, etc., are his personal associates. The Lord would appear, meaning future tense, and he does so whenever he appears, with all of his associates and potencies. Therefore, the rebellious souls, like the demons and demoniac men, mentioned by the names like Pralamba, would be killed either by the Lord himself or by his associates. All these affairs will be clearly explained in the 10th canto. But we should know well that all the above mentioned living entities killed would attain salvation, either by being merged in the Brahmajyoti of the Lord or being allowed to enter into the abodes of the Lord called Vaikunthas. This has already been explained by Bhishma Dev, first canto. So here's confirmation. All persons who participated in the battlefield of Kurukshetra or otherwise with the Lord or with Baladeva, etc., would benefit by attaining spiritual existence according to the situation of their minds at the time of death. Those who would recognize the Lord would enter Vaikuntha, and those who estimated the Lord as only a powerful being would attain salvation by merging into the spiritual existence of the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord. every one of them would get release from material existence. Since such is the benefit of those who played with the Lord inimically, one can imagine what would be the position of those who devotedly serve the Lord in transcendental relationship with Him. So there's many points here. Earlier in this canto, thoroughly Prabhupada explains that the Lord is absolute, and therefore whatever He does is of an absolute nature, such as, or His benevolence is equal to all, although it may appear He's ill-disposed towards one and partial towards another. It may look like that, but from Krishna's side, He's not name dvesho stina priya. He's not having dvesha or adversity towards someone and holding someone dear to Him. Sammoham sarvabhuteshu. He's equal to all living entities. And by external appearance, one He's killing, another He's embracing. So that looks like. But this, it only looks like something that's of this world. He's, in fact, considering how those individuals regard Him, and He's reciprocating in kind according to how they regard Him. Or, in other words, oh, this living entity wants to embrace me, very nice. Oh, this living entity wants to see me as enemy, very well, I'll act like I'm his enemy, without any enmity. But then, so from the Lord's position, his regard is absolute, and his admonishing and his befriending are absolute. They're of the same absolute nature. And as a result, whether embraced by the Lord or killed by the Lord, one achieves spiritual position because He's absolute. But those spiritual positions are different because of the different regard that the living entity has for Him. The differentiation being made here is very simple, and that is, those who recognize Him as the Supreme Lord, they achieve Vaikuntha. And those who estimated the Lord as only a powerful being would attain salvation by merging into the spiritual existence of the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord. So, one comment is, here's a nice example of how the Bhagavatam is the advanced study of the same messages of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita speaks of the battle in the Mahabharata, and Bhagavatam is giving much more refined understanding of the same, like a pocket dictionary and the collegiate dictionary. The words are the same, the meanings don't change, but there's much more detail described in the expanded dictionary. So, like that, the relationship of the Bhagavatam with the Bhagavad Gita is the Bhagavatam is more, it probes more deeply in the same messages that the Bhagavad Gita speaks. They're fully complementary. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very long and detailed purport where it describes the three lives of Jai and Vijay when they came to this world, and took their lives as demons, and only when they were killed by Krishna, Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and then Shishupal and Dantavakra. So in the previous circumstances, that purport explains that, for example, Ravan saw Ram as a man. Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Srinadev as a mystic who assumed a form. I mean, he had mystic powers. He could assume different forms. So here's a powerful being who has assumed this particular form. I am also powerful. He saw him as not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so when killed by Ram, or when killed by Nrisimhadev, they achieved release from their sinful reactions, but not regaining their position as gatekeepers in the spiritual world. But because the curse was that they would have three lives as demons, so after the Shishupal situation, and Dantavakra situation, then it appeared that they merged into the body of the Supreme Lord, because Shishupal was certainly not. Bhishma was declaring Krishna to be God, and Shishupal was fried with that idea. Spoke ill against Krishna so many times, 100 times. Krishna finished him. So achieving the abode of the Lord, to be in the Lord's association in the spiritual world, requires this step. You seem like a small one, but it's a very deciding one. Accepting the Supreme Lord as a person. There's one room conversation I listened to very carefully several times, where Prabhupada was discussing about scientists. And you know, when Prabhupada spoke about scientists, what his mood was. And so he was saying, fools and rascals, fools and rascals, fools. And the scientist with whom he was speaking said, you know, Swamiji, isn't that a little harsh? I mean, are all scientists fools and rascals? Fools and rascals! And the scientist then said, Are you saying even Albert Einstein? And Prabhupada said, no, he was he accepted that there's a God. And that's the demarcation. So demarcation in attitude, Einstein accepted. I'm standing like a small child standing on the vast ocean of eternality, and I can understand there's something supreme beyond all of this, or something, language different, but that idea. So this is the sura, and that's the division between the asura. And so when the asuras had ill disposition towards God, and so they were killed by him, because not because, oh yeah, I'll show you. It was, that's their regard. And so they were given that situation of release from their material existence and situated in spiritual existence, but according to their regard, not in a favorable way towards the Supreme. So the last night we were discussing chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, in the middle section of chapter 12, Krishna is describing the perfection, mind fixed upon me, intelligence always engaged in me. In such state of existence, one will always live in me perpetually. So, topmost. And if one can't do that, then follow the regulations of bhakti yoga, and one will develop the desire to attain to me. And if you can't do that, then try to work for me. If you can't do that, then try to give up the fruits of your work and be self-situated. So, those stages are stages of intensity of concentration of the mind upon the Supreme, because Krishna does say, fix your mind upon me. So there are stages of fixing our mind upon Krishna. There are stages of doing that even within bhakti, within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. When we're chanting our rounds, we can be more or less attentive. During our japa retreat, we're calling this the hills and the valleys. So more or less attentive, but so the more attentive is a measure of the regard that we have for Krishna and the purification that will come, the submission, the effort to be attentive to Krishna makes more hills and less valleys and stronger connection, more purification, more deep realization, strong spiritual feelings towards Krishna. And this, from Rupa Goswami's teachings, we know makes the difference between Kamsa and a devotee. Kamsa also was thinking of Krishna, but he was thinking of Krishna inimically. But he was thinking of Krishna non-stop. Couldn't sleep at night thinking of Krishna. Having dreams about Krishna. Krishna is going to kill me. So, bhakti is when the mind is fixed in favorable way. But even if one has one's mind fixed in an inimical way, Kamsa is in this list. We go through the list. Pralamba. The next one that's mentioned is, in the Sanskrit, is Kara. And his the translation, English translation, is Denukasara. So apparently Kara means ass, because Denukasara is the ass demon. And one of Ravana's brothers was also named Kara. Killed the general or the in charge of the whole army in Janistan. Kara was also killed. So Dardura or Vakasura, Prabhupada said that in listening to a room conversation, egrets, those white birds that with long legs and long beaks, Prabhupada said, this is Baka. Bakasura, so long beak, here Dardura, he translates as Bakasura, and Keshi and Rista and Mala. So these are categories. Mala indicates a wrestler. So he translates as Chanur and Mushtika. And Ibha is elephant, so, or same, Hasti. So Kuvalyapida, Kamsa, the king of Mathura, the king of Mathura and maternal uncle of Krishna. So these are all persons who were killed, like Dhenuka was killed by Balaram. The others, and Pralamba was killed by Balaram. The others mentioned were killed by Krishna. Then here's Yavana. And Prabhupada has given translation, the kings of Persia and other adjoining places. So Persia, you know from your history where Persia is geographically. So Yavanas, that was their kingdom. Great kingdom. But so was Lanka. And Kapi is a gorilla, so Dvidvida, Pondraka, and others. And Shalva, and Narakasura, and Balvala, Dantavakra. Prabhupada translates, the brother of Shishupal, a dead rival of Krishna's. Now he's dead rival in two ways. Dead rival is a term that means he was determined. Dead certain. But also, dead rival of Krishna's. Saptoksha. Don't know much about King Saptoksha. Shambhara Vidurata, the brother of Rukmini, named Rukmi. All these persons were killed by Krishna or by Krishna's expansions, either his personal expansions or his personal associates. The Pandavas, just two are mentioned, Bhima and Arjuna. But the Pandavas, Prabhupada described on many occasions that whenever Krishna makes his appearance in this world, they come with him. Wherever he has his Boma Leela, his worldly pastimes, the Pandavas are with him, assisting, just like Krishna describes in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita when he spoke the sun god, spoke the message of Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivaswan, Arjuna was there. Now, there's no indication. I've researched and asked a number of people. There's no indication what was the name, what was the form, what was the relationship, what was the setting when Krishna spoke to Vivaswan and Arjuna was there. Not likely was he Arjuna, the son of Kunti. Is some other name, some other relationship, but his personality as the associate of Krishna was there. So, and he doesn't remember all those circumstances, but Krishna does. So wherever Krishna goes, then that statement is made here. All manifestations, no, the Lord would appear, and he does so whenever he appears, with all his associates and potencies. So, and when he appears, he has a mission, and his associates and potencies, they share his mission, because they're his devotees. And Kritanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, same program. So they're just assisting Krishna, just as Krishna disclosed to Arjuna with universal form. It's already done deal. These kings have already, you saw, they entered into my mouths. They were devoured. They were killed by the gnashing teeth. Even described some of them were caught in between the teeth. So, you are the non-doer, Arjuna. You can be the instrument of that which is already decided by me. And not only there's no need for lamentation about the outcome of the battle, for fear that all the reasons he gives in the first chapter, you know, it's a bad program. Rather, these persons will be liberated. And those who will be left behind, is that the plan of the Lord is they will also be taken care of. And that message was delivered by Bhishma to Yudhisthira in the 8th chapter. You now that the battle is done, which was the plan of the Lord, there are so many people who are depending upon you to give them protection, minus their other protectors. So, get it together. Perform your duty. Give protection. Because that's also the plan of the Lord. Some get liberated and some get protected. Pritranaya sadhunam vinachaya chaduskatam. And seeing to the principles of Dharma. In this case, again, the Lord orchestrated the pastime such that Bhishma Dev would give those principles of Dharma. And he did. Elaborately. But those principles of Dharma are contained within the scriptures, so Bhishma Dev's not saying anything other than what's in the scriptures, so who needs Bhishma Dev? Just go to scripture. But no, we need the person to establish. Even scripture is there, because scripture tells us we should approach scripture through those who are qualified. That's the teaching of scripture. Recently I was listening to Prabhupada describe this idea of impersonal it's a created thing, a newly created thing. I mean, there is a impersonal feature of the Lord, but how prominent such an idea is at present. It's not supported within the scriptures, although those persons twist meanings from the scriptures to get that idea. Since the beginning of time, the understanding of I have a father and he has a father and he has a father and there's an original father. I mean, this common sense. And yet this idea that the origin is not father. Excuse me, but how do you get that idea? Because they cannot conceive of a person so great that everything comes from a person. Therefore, must be not person. The scientists, they're also searching what is the origin of all things. They're searching for the absolute truth. And Prabhupada says, but we're telling, here he is, here's his address, here's his name, here's how you can contact him. And they are searching. Fool. fools and rascals. So many interpretations, malinterpretations, speculations. So this chapter is very nice. It's directly disclosing the personality of Godhead and confidential understandings about him, the encounters that he has with those of this world to bring them to the spiritual position depending upon their regard for him. So this is one of the glories of the personality of Godhead. Okay, so see if we have some discussion on the verse.
We have heard that those who merge into the Brahma Jyoti, they fall back again.
Yeah, we've heard that, haven't we?
So in what way is it beneficial for them, those who were the demons who were...
Well, their material existence, there's the reactions of all bad deeds are squeaky clean, gone, completely gone. Their involvement with the modes of nature, gone. They're not impelled anymore. They're in a neutral state.
So when they come back again, they can make a test.
Yeah, well, it's all in relation to their disposition towards the Supreme. Just like for us, we're not squeaky clean. There's residual actions going on. So what's really dependent is our regard for Krishna. I mean, the whole purpose of our devotional service is to bring our attention again to a favorable service, loving mood to Krishna. So, fresh start, yes, in terms of the karma and guna and karma, the impelling forces. But their disposition resumes. Yes. So that has to be addressed if they come in contact with one who is carrying devotion in their heart, and comes in contact with a devotee, then they can change. But if their disposition remains ill towards the Supreme, they come in contact with the devotee, they'll offend the devotee. Problem. So the benefit is, like this whole idea of salvation, the salvationists want release from the suffering of material existence. But that's only, it's not even half the problem, it's just, part of the problem. So the benefit is released. There's a little complexity there, and that is that following Krishna's pastimes, they then took the position of Krishna. Krishna, the two drunkards that were rescued by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagan Madhai. And they became devotees. So that was like a bonus. But that we don't. They weren't, in that case, demons like in any gross, awful way. Shishupal and Tantabhadra. They were fallen. You know, Kali Yuga type fallen. Their bhava, their hearts are the same, but their manifest form and nilas with the Lord are variegated. Like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila, there were the five Pandavas and their father, Pandu. Bhavananda Roy was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, "You are Pandu and these are your five sons are the Pandavas." Ramananda Roy and Vaninath, Gopinath. They weren't Arjun carrying a bow and Bhima carrying a club. Mood. Ramananda Roy was, then again it gets a little delicate, but he was Arjuna, and in the mood of Arjuna, at the same time, Lalita or Vishakha, perhaps Vishakha. And like that. In that liberated state, they have their shelter taking at the lotus, you know, Yenyera Vindaksha Vimukta Mani Nastriyasta Bhava Avashuddha Buddhaya. Their Avashuddha Buddhi, their intelligence is not yet fully purified because they've not taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And that's what that Chaitanya Charitamrita purport explains. Can't remain. After some time, not feeling the satisfaction of that loving relationship with Krishna, then they, you know, other desires arise. And, you know, in a certainly different manifestation, but in some ways similar in our lives. If we take up devotional service in a mechanical way and we're not consciously striving to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, what will happen? How long can one go on? After some time, spiritual practice will slacken and material activity will start to appear. it's really imperative that the reason for emphasizing the importance of establishing a relationship with Krishna is because if we don't, we'll fall down. Even, you know, for someone who may be very strict in following something, but that following something is not the essence. Rupa Goswami teaches that can be an impediment if activities are taken up without consideration of the purpose behind the activity. Desire drives our existence. Desire is concomitant with the soul. So what is it that we're desiring? If our desire is, I want to be neutral, it's not natural. Because we're active. I mean, what way are we active? And it's the free will choice. In relation to Krishna, not in relation to Krishna. If we don't make the in relation to Krishna choice, the default mode appears on screen. So the regulations of bhakti yoga, just as Krishna describes in the 12th chapter, regulations of bhakti yoga are meant for strengthening our desire to attain Krishna, to be again established in our relationship with Krishna. All of our 4 a.m. mangalartis, what's it for? Or, you know, keeping things very clean, or very careful in our making of offerings, or whatever it is that, you know, our relationships with the Vaishnavas. Services to Guru and Krishna, what's it for? Deepening each thing, deepening our strengthening, reawakening our relationship with Krishna, so we become attracted to and attached to Krishna. That's the purpose. Again, we're advised to be mindful of the purpose when we're doing things. What's the reason for completing your academics? There's the material reason. And then, you know, at some stage, where there's immaturity, some persons find, oh, I've lost all interest in academics. They don't have, you know, those material reasons are bad. But then, are there spiritual reasons? One has to carefully consider spiritual reasons for continuing on in a spirit soul that's in a foreign place, hostile place, trying to be Krishna conscious in a hostile environment. You have to have a very clear sense of spiritual purpose. There are spiritual purposes to be served. That's this thinking of Krishna. So, doing my work for Krishna, the component. Take some detachment to think differently than, you know, I want money and I want enjoyment and I want sense gratification. Take some thoughtfulness. Take some purification. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.